We're doing the Drashat Ramban, the Drashat Torat Hashem Tmima, and we'll dedicate our learning this morning to Freida Bas Yosef Nasan, her Nesham Shalem and Aliyah. The Ramban had been describing in the Drashat Torat Hashem Tmima the wholeness of the Torah, and how the Torah, even in the most minuscule points, teaches us very important lessons. And the Ramban started from the very beginning of the Torah and explained why it was necessary to tell us about creation. And now the Ramban explained to us why it was necessary to tell us about Noah and the story of Ham. And now after the story of Ham, we move on to the story of the Dor HaPalaga, the people who built the Tower of Babel, and then God scattered them, which is a story which we will also focus on in our Doshot Aran class. There are different understandings as to what exactly happened there. So the Ramban writes, and we're in the second to last page over there in the Mosad Arav Kook edition, in the middle of the page, where the sentence begins, V'achal kach, about a third of the way down. And in this edition, Torat Hashem Tmima Hashlema V'amtukenet, and we're going to see that there's really a marked difference between this edition and the Mosad Arav Kook edition, the one that was put out by Rav Yehuda Meir Dvir. So in this one we're on page Kuftet. V'achar kach hu'atak el sipur ha'palaga. And afterwards the Torah went on to the story of the scattering. U'chvar b'yalnu to'elet zichrona b'shem ha'ravzal. And earlier the Ramban explained why, what we gain from the Torah's mentioning of this story. The Ramban had quoted the Rambam's explanation. V'inyan achet lo nitparesh. But what exactly was their sin, that the Torah doesn't explain. The Torah doesn't explicitly say what was the sin of the Dor HaPalaga. V'aldat Rabbi Avraham, and the opinion of the Ibn Ezra is that lo chatu, they actually did not sin. It was their potential for future sin. But at the moment, they hadn't yet sinned. The Ran explains, he says, when we approach this parsha, we have a certain difficulty. Because the people of the flood, the people in the time of Noah, they were killed. The people in the generation of the Dor HaPalaga, we don't find that they were killed. Their punishment was merely that they would no longer be able to do what they were planning to do. But it seems that what they did had an element of either that it was a less severe sin than what the people did in the time of the Mabul, or there was something positive about them that Hashem didn't want to destroy them. But we find that they're about to do something and God says this is just the beginning, and so God says I'm going to scatter them. So what were they about to do? What would they have done had God not scattered them? The Ran goes his own route. The Ran says that it was a danger for Avram and monotheists in the future. That's how we're going to learn in the Doshot Aran. He says, if there would be one king, an absolute monarch, who ruled the world, and everyone agreed he should have full control, so then on the day he decided to banish monotheism, Avram would have no place to run. That's why God didn't want this government to stand. That we'll learn Be'ezrat Hashem in the Doshot Aran. The Ramban says, the Ibn Ezra is of the opinion that they hadn't yet sinned. How so? Ki Noach uvanav hayu sham. Because at that time, Noach and his children were still around. And they were everyone's parents. Everyone was their descendants. V'chulam sarim el mishmatam. And everyone listened to them. So they wouldn't go against Noach and his children. And Noach and his children knew that God created the world and that God had brought a flood, as the Ramban had explained earlier, that the life after the flood was like a new start. It was like a new beginning, and it was just like it was abundantly clear to Adam Arishon that God created the world, so too it was abundantly clear to Noah and his children that God created the world. They witnessed it. They were like a new testimonial to the fact that God created the world. So the Dor HaPalaga, when you do the math, it happened before Noah passed away. So if Noah and his children were still around, people listened to them. So it cannot be that at that moment they had sinned. That's the Ibn Ezra's explanation. Ela ratzu shelo yitpazeru. But rather their goal was that they remain unified, that they do not scatter. Na Hashem yitbarach atzav efizuram. And God wanted them to be scattered, mikan ve'ilach. God wanted them to expand over earth from that point onward, midato ki yafrem ve'yarbem, because God wanted them to multiply. So the Ibn Ezra says, really there was no sin at the time, but their goal was, let us all unify, let us all be together around this tower. And God said, no, you have to expand, conquer earth, spread out. That's not good, that everyone be in one place. That's the Ibn Ezra's pshat. But says the Ramban, if we'll go for the truth, which is usually a reference to Kabbalah, Vehudat Rabotenu, and this is what our sages teach us, be it the Gemara and Sanhedrin, the Medrash Rabbah, or the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, they all say, Ratzu l'avod avodah, lasot avodah zarah. They did want to erect an idol. Ufshat HaKatuv, and when we read the Pasuk, so the Pasuk says, Shamar, Vahi kol ha'aretz safa echat udvarim achadim. All of earth was speaking one language and had one intent. Lomar, what the verse is indicating is, Ki ayu kulam maskimim al da'at achat. They all agreed with one plan. V'ratzu la'asot guf echad, and they wanted to make one body, one figurine, one idol, mekabel kol ha'kochot, that could receive all the forces from above, liyot lehem tselem, that should be the form, lekabel kochot elyonim, to accept the forces from above, mikulam, from all the different forces that exist above, they'll make one form that will be able to accept it all, kedei shelo yu od lechochotam elyonim, mabat ahava umabat tzina, so that they'll no longer have to contend with love and hate, the different forces above that could sometimes have greater affinity or less affinity. It seems that the Ramban is going with the explanation that he had said earlier in his explanation of the Egel, that there are forces above. God did appoint certain angels in charge of certain forces, and those forces can sometimes look fondly upon a person and sometimes not. And they wanted to be able to use all those forces, so that's why they made this huge figurine. And then they won't be scattered when the forces change. Now, the Ramban is now going into a point which, on the surface of things, is a Kabbalistic point. But I want to point out, and that's why I brought these different sources, that this is a point that we have to understand. We can't run away from this point. The Ramban says, "Vezeu perush Shem," and that's the explanation of the word Shem. It says, they wanted to get together. They said, "V'naseh lanu Shem." Let us make for ourselves a Shem. We think Shem means a name, and Shem does mean a name, but it must have another meaning. And the Ramban is saying that was their goal. That Shem is a reference to the capacity to have all the different forces. Now, when we read this, we say, "Wait a second! God has all the forces. So what are we talking about? Other forces?" So we discussed Machloket, and we discussed the Ramban earlier, that the Ramban says that God did appoint angels in charge of different things. It's idol worship to serve them, but they still exist. And God also made a capacity within the world to connect with those forces, and that connection, the Ramban explained, can be a practical thing, and can be idol worship, but doesn't have to be idol worship. To pray to them, that would be idol worship. But to use those forces, however one can use them, that's not idol worship. Now, ordinarily, whenever we read these things, I always say this is Kabbalah, and I don't understand any of it. But here, even though the Ramban said it is Kabbalah, and I don't understand any of it, I just want to point out that it's a problem that I don't understand any of it. Other areas of Kabbalah, I often say, I'll get there when I find a Rebbe who can teach me. When I'm on a level, I'll learn it. Here, we have to realize, this is a pasuk in the Torah. The Torah says, the people gathered, and they said, we have to unite, v'naseh lanu shem, penafutz apne haaretz. The pasuk says the following. V'yomru ish el reyehu. V'yomru, hava nivne lanu iru migdal v'rosho b'shamayim. Let's build a city, a tower, that the top of the tower reaches the heaven. Menaseh lanu shem, we will make for ourselves a shem, which could mean something famous. We'll make a reputation, we'll give ourselves a name. Penafutz apnei chol haaretz, lest we scatter over the earth. So the question is, what does the word Shem mean? So some of the commentaries say Shem just means a fortress. We'll make for ourselves a tower, a fortress, and that's where we'll live. The problem is that the word Shem obviously has to mean some kind of force. Because when we look at the Rambam, and this is why I say we can't run away and just say, it's Kabbalah, it's beyond us. Because when we open the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam tells us, HaMitzvah Rishona, the first mitzvah, Hi HaTzivui Yesho Tzivanu, that is the commandment that God commanded us, LeHa'amin HaElohut, to believe in God, V'hu SheNa'amin, and that is that we believe, SheYesh Shem, that there is a Shem, Ila V'Siba, He is the cause, He is the one who created the world, He acts and he causes things in the world. The Rambam also uses the word Shem. And the Rambam is talking to us. So the word Shem has to be defined. I'm at a loss. The Sephorn over here says Shem means Avodah Zarah. The Ramban is now going to explain that the word Shem is a reference to the unification of all forces. I don't know what the word Shem means. I don't know. It bothers me that I don't know. For years, I don't know. I don't know. The Targum on the Pasuk says, V'naved lana shom. Seemingly he's translating it as Shem being literal. But this is a point that if we could understand the Ramban, we really should invest the time, because the even though the Ramban began by saying it's a Kabbalistic concept, at the end of the day, if it shows up in the Torah and it shows up in the Rambam in Halacha, so we sort of have to know what we're talking about. Uchtiv b'divrei hayamim, and it says in Divrei Hayamim, Chronicles, asher nikra shem, that's how God was referred to. Uchtiv lasum shimcha b'bayit hazeh. And now the Ramban is going over by the fact that the Ramban equates it with the concept that King Solomon said, we want your name to be in this house. Here already, we could understand it more simply. We also say, Baruch Shein Kavod Machus Olam Vayed. We say, Baruch Hu Uvaruch Shemo. And the question is, what's the importance of God's name? So there are different explanations that are offered, and they basically go along the lines that the name is what a person is known by, and God's name is really the actions that we recognize of God. Meaning we recognize that we can't recognize Him directly, so our recognition of God is through His actions. We know that God's actions are merciful. We know that God's actions are just. What we see is what the human eye can see, and therefore we refer to that as God's name. That's the best I can do, but you have to know that this is a point that's been bothering me for years, and this is a point that you really do have to get a better definition on. I've been searching for the better part of the past decade for an explanation of this. No, because we paskin in Shulchan Aruch that just like it is me'akev, it is critical that one has kavanah when he says Shema Yisrael, the first pasuk of Shema Yisrael, by the same token it is critical that one have kavanah when he says Baruch Shem Kvod Machuso Le'olam Va'ed. And I don't know what those words mean. So I have a few pshatim, and I try to have kavana to what I think is pshat based on the different works I've read. But at the end of the day, I don't feel like I have a handle on it. I don't know what Shmo is, what God's name is, even though what I told you is what I've learned, but I'm not clear on it. No, Yudke Bavke is, we say that's Atzmuzo. That's Him. That.
By the way, what's the difference between him and his name?
That's exactly the question. So, and the question is this point connected? If the Ramban would not have quoted this pasuk from Divrei Hayamim that Shlomo HaMelech said to place God's name in this house, I would have thought there's the word, that there's the concept of God's name, the way we usually speak about it, and there's the concept of Shem, which is a concept of an omnipotent being, which simply is what we call God. But the fact that the Ramban seems to equate the word Shem with Shmo, God's name, over here, Lechora, it's God's name, that leaves me room to wonder. The Ramban quotes the pasuk Lasum Shimcha b'Beit Hazeh. Shlomo Amar says, I created this house and I ask you, Hashem, to place your name in this house. You guys don't have this. This is a point where the Mosad Hare Kook edition is missing quite a few paragraphs. Few paragraphs that we're going to learn, pages worth of text.
This is just like a more expansive.
This is a more accurate version.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And he must have used like, he's got a footnote of all this, I think that.
But you see here, I have another 15 pages, 20 pages that you don't have in the Mosad Hare Kook edition. What? Lasum Shimcha b'Beit Hazeh. So Shimcha simply is. Yeah. What?
When you're saying to
him,
what's the
So he's saying Shem and Shimcha is all the same concept. God's name is a reference to potency, to strength. The Gemara says that Naseh lanu Shem is Avodah Zarah. Over there, they wanted to do Avodah Zarah, the Dor HaPalaga. But the question is, how do we use the word Shem? What does the word Shem mean? A potent being, an omnipotent being? What does the word Shem mean, and how does it mean that? I don't know. Ve'ot katuv v'chulu. And furthermore, it says, and then we have over here v'chulu. It's unclear which pasuk he meant to quote. Va'yaon sham shamal katuv v'nam achad v'safa achad. So what was their punishment? The verse says, God says, hey, they're one nation. They're speaking one language. U'mashma katuv b'dikduk nachon sham echad v'safa achad lechulam lo yibatzer ma sheyurtzu la'asot. That now that they're one nation with one language, they'll be able to fulfill what they had thought to do. Like the concept that says by Adam, he ate from the forbidden fruit, and now lest he eat from the fruit of life. So it seems like there's the problem is the future, not the present. Adam has to be chased out of the Garden of Eden. Adam has to be kicked out, not because he ate from the forbidden fruit, as much as because he might eat, lest he eat from the other fruit. Over here, the Ramban says, it seems that their punishment was not so much because of what they had done, but because of what they had potential to do. And the Ran goes along the same route. And that's what the Pasuk says, "V'zeh achilam la'asot," this is just the beginning. Klomar, as if to say, "Ata suzot avodah zarah," God was saying, now they made this avodah zarah. "Ulmacha yasu od acher tra'a imena," and tomorrow they'll make another avodah zarah that's even worse. It'll evolve to an avodah zarah in which they totally deny God's existence and they serve the forces alone. So Hashem said, right now they believe I exist because Noach's involved, and they're serving this force. They figure with this figurine they'll be able to bring down all the forces from above. So that's not as problematic. But it will become more problematic. Now here, the Ramban, I don't know how to understand this section of the Ramban, because initially the Ramban said, Noach and his children were there, so people listened to them. That's what he said according to the Ibn Ezra. It would seem that he's not agreeing with the Ibn Ezra on that point. It would seem that now that the Ramban said, the Ibn Ezra says, everyone listened to them. And so it cannot be that they served Avodah Zarah with the tower they were building, or whatever they were building there. And now the Ramban seems to be saying that no, they were doing Avodah Zarah. It wasn't the worst possible Avodah Zarah. Hashem said, I have to ensure it doesn't get worse. So I guess according to Ramban, they weren't all listening to Noach, which would make easy sense according to the Psukim, because Pshat in the Psukim is that the king around then was Nimrod. It wasn't Noach, it wasn't his children. Even Ezra's Pshat is a Chiddush. Ufizram, so God scattered them, v'shinat l'shunam, and changed their languages, v'nireh she'az husmu alehem lemal asarim. And it would seem, says the Ramban, that it was at that point that God appointed different angels over different peoples, k'inyan v'sal malchut yavan ba, like we find in Daniel, that you have the angel responsible for the Greeks. V'sal malchut paras, you have the angel responsible for the Persians, omed l'negdi yisrim v'chad yom, he stood opposite me for 21 days, u'chinyan yifkod Hashem atzma marom b'marom. And like we find in Yeshaya and Isaiah, the Navi says, Hashem, you should take accounting of the angels above in heaven. He's referring to the angels that represent the different nations. So this concept that each nation has an angel above, says the Ramban, it would seem that it began then, when God scattered them, made them into different nations and different languages. That's when God appointed angels for each nation. So the Ramban is going to move forward with the genealogy of Shem. I want to point out what we just say. We said that the Dor HaPalaga, according to the Ibn Ezra, was not idol worship. According to the Ramban, it was idol worship. It was potential for worse idol worship, and so God had to scatter them. Then they became nationalities. The Ibn Ezra had explained that it was important to scatter them because God wanted them to spread out over earth. The Ramban did not explain why that was their punishment. Meaning, according to the Ramban, we're left with a hole, we're left with a point which the Ramban did not address, and that is, why was this a fitting punishment for their action? They united to build this idol. And now God says, no, if this is where they're headed, it's going to get worse. So you could just say simply, you know, if they're not together, then they can't build something so big. But then it would seem counterproductive. The beauty in the Ibn Ezra's pshat, and the Ran goes the same route, is that the punishment was a productive punishment. It was a punishment that God says, let me scatter them so that they develop throughout the earth. And according to the Ramban, it was more divide and conquer. So God doesn't need to divide in order to conquer, but God needs to divide them so that they won't have unification to do what they're doing. Yeah?
Why does Hashem punish them for what they will do and not what they've done? Or stop it before it happened? What's this, you know, oh, you stole, so before you stole $1 million,
so I'm saying that would seem to be, according to the Ramban, why it was necessary to scatter them. Meaning, the punishment could have just been a flood coming down or who knows what. But Hashem said the punishment has to ensure that they don't do this in the future, so it wouldn't help just to kill the leader or something like that. Rather, Hashem scattered them, and then they don't have the potential to do this or worse.
That's it was both.
It was a punishment for the past, but it was a punishment that would ensure they wouldn't do worse in the future. I think so. The Ramban doesn't say it explicitly, but that's the way I understand it. And after this, the Pasuk starts telling us about Shem's offsprings. Why? To tell us the history, the genealogy of Avram. So we'll pick up over here, and Ramban also will go into the explanation of the 10 tests of Avraham, Bezrat Shem, next week.